Support for this podcast comes from Eightfold AI. Eightfold AI's market-leading talent intelligence platform helps organizations retain top performers, upskill and reskill their workforce, recruit talent efficiently, and reach diversity goals. Eightfold's patented deep learning artificial intelligence platform is available in more than 155 countries and 24 languages, enabling cutting-edge enterprises to transform their talent into a competitive advantage. For more information, visit eightfold.ai.
There's been more of scientific discovery, more of technical advancement and material progress in your lifetime and mine than in all the ages of history.
Hi there, this is Matt Alder. Welcome to episode 586 of the Recruiting Future podcast. The ever-shortening shelf life of skills, fast-changing business priorities, aging populations, and changing attitudes to work mean that retaining the right talent is not only more difficult than ever, it's also likely to remain so for years to come. It's not surprising, then, that talent leaders are starting to think differently about the structure of their function, to remove silos and foster collaboration between talent acquisition, talent management, L&D, and other vital people functions. So, what kind of overarching vision is needed to drive effective cross-function thinking? And what strategic role should TA be playing internally within the organisation? My guest this week is Helen Luan, VP of Human Resources at Ekaden. Helen's background is in recruiting, working at rapidly scaling companies. Her focus at Ekaden is building a shared vision of employee experience to connect HR silos to improve hiring and retention. Hi, Helen, and welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Matt.
An absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Please, could you introduce yourself and tell us what you do?
Sure. Thank you for the invitation first. My name is Helen. I'm French, and I'm currently VP HR at Ekaden, which is a European consulting company operating in different countries, currently several over Europe. We are providing digital, industrial, and sustainable competencies for clients. I joined there 3.5 years ago when the team was only counting a few people, and we grew very fast from 10 to 250 in 3 years. Well, I think I'm sure we're going to talk about it later. And I am a VP. As a VP HR, I am supervising, so to say, the whole candidate and employee life cycles, from the talent acquisition to the talent development, culture design, so on, so until the exit. And before that, I was living in Germany for 7 years, where I worked as a HR business partner, focusing also on recruitment, but also in operations for the hotel chain Premier Inn, and that was currently expanding on the German market. And when I joined, there was one hotel. And when I left, there were 33. And I think now they are even over 50, and the expansion still going on.
Wow. So kind of scaling businesses is something that you've done at least, a couple of times now. Let's talk about Premier Inn to start with. What were the talent acquisition challenges with growing a hotel chain like that quickly? How did you get around them? What kind of lessons did you learn?
Yeah, it was very tough, but I learned a lot because, you know, Premier Inn is very known in the UK, but is completely unknown in Germany. And we were recruiting for the hospitality industry for a brand that was still unknown on the German market at that time. So hospitality, you know, doesn't have always a very good reputation in terms of working conditions. So it was not always very easy to attract talents. There was a big opportunity for an HR approach that would break with the traditional practices in force at the time, and a strong culture that was implemented by Natalie Bush and Inge van Oetegem in order to quickly offer competitive working conditions and be able to also attract and recruit people. And at the same time in Germany, it was quite interesting because there was a wave of immigration, of political and war refugees. So we worked together with associations to help integrating these people that were arriving. And there were some very good success stories, particularly for people who arrived, who didn't speak the language and who, after solid like training and internal development programs, were able to become team managers, for example. So many, many different situations that taught me that it's not so simple to recruit personalities instead of looking for a perfect CV.
Amazing. That's so interesting to have kind of been through that experience. And what are the, I suppose, what are the similarities and what are the differences in terms of what you do now? So scaling a consulting business, what's the same? What's very different?
You know, it's always, I think, a question of adapting to the industry you're working on, because in my case, I didn't know anything about hospitality nor consultancy before I worked for those industries. And in the end, I think it's a little bit like marketing. You have first to understand the target audience to find out what they are really looking for, offer them the right conditions that will suit them, and then adapt the speech and what you're offering to be convincing. And there are clear differences, of course, in terms of profiles between those two industries. At Ekiden, we also are receiving over 30,000 applications a year, whereas at Premier Inn, at the beginning, it was very few. And I would say that what is also, of course, very similar is like the speed of growth, as you mentioned, because when you're recruiting a lot and recruiting fast, you are facing real cultural and identity challenges within the company. You need to quickly find out which values you have, which personalities will match them, and which environments you need to develop to grow them. So I think it was like more as situational similarities, so to say.
And I suppose to kind of use that comparison to get a benchmark as to where we are right now, because this year has been the year where we've done a lot of talking about AI and automation. And I know that a lot of employers have been effectively using some of the tools that are currently available in their talent acquisition activities. How would you have benefited in the past from some of the tools that are available now?
I think first that we would never be able to process 30,000 applications a year without any AI or automation. And when we are talking about AI and automation, it's not just used in the recruitment process, but also, you know, throughout the entire employee lifecycle. And I think for the time at Premier Inn, it will be very beneficial to use AI or automation to be able to generate more application, for example, like using retargeting in recruitment, automating a bit more like the sourcing. However, since the target groups are very different, I'm not sure it would have worked at this time, but maybe more like trying to automating tasks that don't add value in the employee lifecycle to be able to focus more on things that really matter, such as support, culture, events, and even sometimes simple things such as listening or passing on knowledge, for example.
Interesting. And how are you using the tools now? How is it part of the, I suppose, not just TA, but the whole of HR in terms of what you're doing?
Well, we are connecting all our tools together. We are making sure that the different silos of HR are connected. You know, when we grew from 0 to 230, we gradually developed the different topics in HR, because first it was about how to attract and hire people, and then it was more about how make sure they will stay and they will stay with us for a long time. And the different functions of HR started to connect between each other and to communicate strongly together. So it started to be there first in recruitment, of course, but then also in all topics related to data, to be able to generate automated reports, for example, or predictive analytics for workforce planning, or to automatize also like emails or different like touch points in the whole employee lifecycle to be better focused on things that really matter that machines are not able to replace yet.
We'll get back to the show in just a moment, but I wanted to take a minute or so to talk about something that I know is critical for you all right now. Talent acquisition is going through an unprecedented transformation, and many of you are likely in the middle of planning your strategies as we move through 2024 towards 2025. We all know that operating models, change management, and aligning TA with corporate objectives are essential parts of any transformation strategy. But with the market and AI technologies in particular evolving so rapidly, there's a real risk that your strategy could quickly become outdated. That's where strategic foresight comes in. It's a proven methodology that helps you build credible future scenarios, create agile strategies, and most importantly, have a proactive influence on what the future of talent acquisition looks like, both within your organization and across the industry. I know you're busy, so I've created a concise online course that breaks down strategic foresight into easy-to-learn tools specifically designed for TA transformation. It's quick to implement and will keep you ahead of the curve. You can learn more by visiting mattalder.me/course. That's mattalder.me/course. There's really never been a better time to shape the future of talent acquisition. So don't miss this opportunity to make a lasting impact. So I think the interesting thing when we're talking about scaling business, so as you say, you kind of start off, talent acquisition is the main thing. As the business gets bigger, HR starts to split into these silos, but now they're working together much more closely. Is that just driven by the technology, or is it a different way of thinking about talent, the people in your business?
I think it's like, in our company, definitely the move, but I think overall in general, in HR, it is slowly moving to or evolving to a very like people-centric departments in HR. They can't be just like silos next to each other. They have to work more and more together to collaborate, to communicate strongly, sharing the data to collaborate effectively. In Nekiden, we call the HR department like the POPs, because for people operations. And it's a department that focuses really on streamlined operations that can use data from all the different silos to drive then that decisions and projects and support tangible business results. And you have more and more like problems of retention, and the market is very competitive. There's nothing new in there. So companies must focus on the employee experience and culture. And this is on top, like over all the different silos. It's not, you cannot just like differentiate those. They must work together.
Just tell us a little bit more about how that works from a retention perspective.
I think that the fact that if you are focusing on, you are taking the employee experience as a whole and not a talent acquisition strategy and talent development strategy, compensation and benefit strategy, and that you just make sure to understand who is your target group and what kind of different things you can offer them throughout the whole journey, and then you are even stronger in terms of retention, because talent acquisition can communicate on market trends, on compensation and benefit strategies, give you like inputs on how to work better in internal recruitment, for example, for career development purposes, learning and development certifications that will be key on the market and so on. And so if you can straighten your compensation and benefits strategies, communicating better with talent acquisitions, or have a stronger personal development plans, talking also with talent acquisitions, or knowing better the market. So I think, like, if you take it as a whole, you will have personalized experiences for each of the employees, better understanding the environment, and better understanding what they really need.
That makes perfect sense. And I think the value of the lens that talent acquisition has externally brought internally, you know, as you say, incredibly important. I suppose that brings me on to the final question, which is, what do you think the future of TA looks like? We talked a bit about technology. What sort of impact is that going to have over the next 2 to 5 years?
Probably more AI even to streamline repetitive tasks and allow recruiters to be more focused on strategic aspects. Because as I was saying before, I think recruiters are no longer just sourcing and placing talents. Instead, the function is really like more as a strategic partner for the organization, with that must have deep understanding of broader business landscapes. And recruiters of tomorrow are, I think, expected to be more on top of market dynamics, competitive positioning, industry-specific challenges, and also influencers of the HR strategy, where, as I said before, you know, in compensation and benefits, learning and development. But I think as well, there will be in talent acquisition probably more pressure around transparency and conditions that you're referring to employees. There is a lot of legislative pushes currently in Europe around, for example, pay transparency directives in the European Parliament, that where European companies will be required to share information on salaries, taking care of like gender pay gaps, make sure that it will be not longer than something like 5%. So it will be like a key business and centric business actor, I think.
Hélène, thank you very much for talking to me.
Thank you.
My thanks to Hélène. You can subscribe to this podcast in Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or via your podcasting app of choice. Please also follow the show on Instagram. You can find us by searching for Recruiting Future. You can search all the past episodes at recruitingfuture.com. On that site, you can also subscribe to our monthly newsletter, Recruiting Future Feast, and get the inside track about everything that's coming up on the show. Thanks very much for listening. I'll be back next time, and I hope you'll join me.
This is my show.